Here's a place where all of us can be safe. Our stories of transformation can be safe, and all the things we want to research are safe here. This is Safe Space with Cheyenne. I'm really excited you're here, and I hope you stick around for a while, because I've got a lot to show you before I leave Earth. I love you guys. Welcome back to your safe space, friends.
I think I'm just going to start randomly singing that, just however I feel like singing it every time we bring up a new episode. I'm feeling very family oriented today, which usually makes me just want to sing like a Disney character through my house. But I'm feeling family oriented because I have met a lady by the name of Sally Myers, and she just happens to be located in Illinois, where I originate from.
So yes.
After you move away, it becomes like by state, not necessarily by town anymore. So if you meet somebody that's from your own state, you just go, ah, you get it. You're from there.
Yes.
And it's just, you know, just like an automatic bond almost. So when she was like, I'm from Illinois, I'm like, I love you even more. So thanks for coming in and coming on and telling us your story. But how's Illinois? Everything going good there?
Well, as you probably recall, this is the time of year when it's raining and like 50. So that's how it is in Illinois right now.
Yes. It's but sunny and cold out, kind of like a crisp chill here in the Wichita, Kansas area.
Okay.
But yeah, those days are really good for me. If I were back home, I would probably be on my couch with a Disney movie and like a slice of pizza or something.
Yep, exactly. It makes you want to go back under the covers.
It does. You're like, let me just grab a good book and not go outside.
Exactly. Yes.
So tell me what your business is. Tell me what you're doing. We have a whole wonderful transformational story to get into, but I love the work that you're doing now, and I definitely want to start off by introducing that to our audience.
Sure. So, I am a weight loss coach for women over 40 who feel like they've tried everything and feel stuck and frustrated and all the things. And I don't talk about diet and exercise. I talk about how can we do this so it's not backwards, right? I feel like the diet and fitness industry wants you to wait until you lose 50 pounds to be happy. And I think you should get happy first and then let the weight loss be a side effect of that. So that's what I do.
I think that's great. And it's like, while you were talking, something was coming up in my mind where I can't remember who I was talking to, but we were talking about weight loss and energy at the same time and really to talk to yourself. You know,
yes.
Like a lot of women, if they have, especially after babies, they have like more fluff in the front. They have that, especially lower if you've had a C-section. Like we've all struggled with, oh my gosh, please get off of me. I miss my flat stomach.
Yes.
But we were talking about the energetic protective barrier that you are actually giving yourself as you're trying to lose weight. So you're beating your body up. You're beating your mind up. You're like, why can't I lose weight? Why can't I do this? So it's making like the molecules in your body like mistrust you and freeze up and not go anywhere.
Right.
It's like not love going through your body.
Right.
So your program is, in my mind, revolutionary to anything with weight loss, because I don't think people understand how important it is to talk kindly to yourself no matter
exactly
what part of the journey you're in. Even right now, I have exercises I do every day and my stomach and everything that I want back that I'll technically never get back pre-baby.
Right.
I still like, I want to tighten. I want to be vital. I want my bones
yes.
to be good. I want my skin to be good. I want to continue to add vitality, even though I'm getting older. I don't want to see aging as a curse and like, oh, that's just what happens when you get older. Everything starts breaking down. It's like, no, drink
exactly.
Water, exercise, and watch what you put in your vessel.
Put in your vessel, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I feel like we have more of a tendency to do those things, like move our bodies and eat healthy and drink water when we are speaking kindly to ourselves, right? Like if I was your personal trainer and I was like, you fat ass, why don't you get off your loaf and start go? Like, would you want to come back to me? Would you want to do what I said? No. But if I was like, oh my God, Cheyenne, you're doing so well and I'm so proud of you and every little step you're making is such a success, like then you would want to come back. So people wonder why they think they don't have willpower. They wonder why they can't stick to their program. Well, who would want to keep doing what this person is saying who's looking in the mirror and like berating themselves? So you're so right that self-talk is vital to success.
Well, it is. And I think self-talk's different for everybody. Like the affirmations that work for me aren't necessarily going to work for you. But I have
right.
marketing where it's like, oh, hey, I'm going to try this program. You know, it's worked for like 50,000 people, you know, and they do not, it doesn't work for them. However, it happens where they just kind of kick it out and they think there's a deficiency in them for not being
yes.
able to complete this.
Right.
So you are really good with like the one-on-one. You're not like the shred.
right. No.
It's like, fill this quiz out and let me give you a diet that I've given to everybody else for $180, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So really honing in on the individuality of the person is, again, one of my favorite things that I found as I was talking about your program.
Yeah, thank you. I think that, like you said, it's not a one size fits all, like how you grew up around food and how you grew up talking about weight and how you grew up talking about your worth. And if you grew up and your mom was always dieting, or you grew up and you heard a lot of people talk unkindly about themselves, all of that affects where we are as adults and all of that affects what we believe about ourselves. So you can't do here's a package and everyone else is doing it and here it'll work for you. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that I just like to point out about the diet and fitness industry is that they have excellent marketing. And also you can do anything with statistics. So this diet worked for 50,000 people. They lost weight for like 2 weeks and then fell off just like you did, but it worked for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the most common downfalls, is that people see all these people that it supposedly worked for, and then they think they're stupid or they're wrong or they just don't have enough willpower because it didn't work for them.
But really, it is all about mental. And I'm remembering another conversation I had with a man named Brian from Australia, and he talks about like everybody's like so obsessed with New Year's resolutions. That's usually when mm-hmm. relationships go in. That's when you're going to get an influx of clientele.
Mm-hmm.
But he's talking about why mentally people drop off after like 2 weeks. And we got into like neuroplasticity and like building habits. And you do have to make yourself do things that you don't feel like you want to do at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I can so relate to that in so many things in my life that I do. There's days where I'm like, no, I don't really want to work out today. But I'll
right.
still make myself like sit down and stretch and do something mm-hmm. because I know that I'm going to feel worse, not really worse,
right.
but like remorse or regret, because I'm like, you know how good this makes you feel.
Right.
So I came across the meme the other day where it was like, self-care has to be the reward. That's the important part. It's like
mm-hmm.
the reward isn't, oh my God, I've been good, let me go slam this pizza and drink
right.
this cola, which I don't think
right.
you pay me to drink cola, but you know.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm like, anytime that I want to like kind of veer off and like reward myself, I have to,
uh-huh.
I'm like, you're not rewarding yourself. You are dismantling
right.
what we are building in our mind. So I'm
right.
like, self-care has to be the reward. Self-care has to be the reward. And I kind of have to put my blinders on that because there's so many delicious temptations out there. And I'm not
sure.
saying you have to eat like salads and
no.
the rest of your life. Like that's a horrible way to live. But
right.
I don't want to be like, oh, I've been good, let me reward myself with
right.
curly fries from a festival and ice cream and, you know, all
right.
these things. Like, moderation's so, wonderful, in my opinion.
Right. That's what I think, too. And I think that we get into this disordered eating mindset where we're like, oh, I can't have any of that. All of that is bad. And what I tell my clients is, there's no bad food and good food. Food is just food. Are there foods that are more nutritionally dense? Yes. But our society and our families build joyful celebrations around food. And we have foods that we remember from Christmas or foods we remember from Thanksgiving. And I think that when we demonize those foods, first of all, it makes us want them more. And second of all, once we start that process of feeling like we've failed, then we go down this rabbit hole of, oh, I just failed. And now I might as well just throw in the towel and I'll start again on Monday and all that stuff. So I think just changing our mindset around like cheesecake can be self-care if that is what is happening, mm-hmm. and exercise can be self-care if that's what's going on with you. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I think just getting out of this mindset of thinking I'm good if I do this and I'm bad if I do that, and getting into the mindset of this is my body, she's my best friend, and I'm going to take good care of her. Whatever she tells me she needs, that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Do you know any of Louise Hay's work?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I love this. There was a lady on TikTok I came across a while ago. She had gotten a form of cancer that I really can't remember. So she obviously, you know, knew the mind was going to be the most powerful force besides juicing, walking, you know,
right.
veggies, all of that stuff. And she says, you know, I wake up every day and I sing this song. I sing this song to my body. I talk good to my body. And I was like,
love
I have
it.
Cancer, but I know what this woman's saying. She's talking to each individual cell of her body. And she's
yes.
letting all of them know, like, they are loved, they are seen, they are heard, and they are healthy. And she's reprogramming her mind to go and make these cells healthy. And
right.
the song is like, she'll just be like bouncing along and she's like, every cell in my body is happy. Every cell in my body is healthy.
And then love it.
She bounces between healthy and happy and lovely. And I don't know the rest uh-huh. of the song, but I would wake up in the morning because I'm like, I still sometimes get in that pattern where I'm like waking up and demonizing myself for being.
Yeah.
You know,
it's right,
so
right.
weird. Like I do so good at it. And then all of a sudden I wake up one day and I'm like, but what voice is in my head right now? That is not,
right.
that's not okay. So immediately I'll switch it. And I'm like, hello, like over a loudspeaker, the PA, I'm like, hello, every cell in Cheyenne's body. I love all of you so much. You are
there you go.
So happy and you all want to work together. And if there are
right.
any of you that are just not feeling good, just reach out to a friend,
you know,
and
right.
copy that friend. Be healthy. We do not need anything bad in our body.
Right.
We don't need any broken down cells. We don't need any cancers. We don't need any
right.
chronic diseases or gut health or anything. But those days, it's honest. Like the funniest for me, because then I'll go and do like mirror exercises.
Yeah.
I've been doing mirror exercises for 4 years and I still giggle and think it's funny and almost like cheating.
Right.
I know it freaking works. But the fact that
right.
I have to like get up in the morning and not look at the bags under my eyes, because who freaking cares? Right.
Right.
Like, that's
right.
the industry getting to me. I'm like, oh no,
right.
I'm getting older.
And yeah.
then I'm like, I have to stare directly into my eyes and tell myself, like, I love myself 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, because this is a new one that I'm doing, I have to do exaggerated breath work where I don't break eye contact afterwards. So I'm like, like to really wake it up. And
yeah.
And I'll get like lemon water, or like anything to just add vitality. I'm absolutely obsessed with. But
yeah.
I still like people to know, I do think it's cheesy as well, but the cheesy works.
Right.
Being happy works. Talking to myself
yes.
like I'm my own best friend. Freaking
right.
works.
Right. And I think you make such a good point. Like, some days it's harder than others. It's just like being a parent, right? Like, some days you don't jump out of bed and are like, I'm so excited to see my kids. Some days you're like, oh my God, I want to go back to sleep.
Do it
So,
yourself, honey. Do
right.
it yourself.
So it's normal to have days where you're not as self-loving and it takes more effort. It's because we're human, right? And we have that range of emotions and that range of states of being where we're not always our highest vibing selves, and
Yes.
we can work to make it better as we go along the day.
Yes. Those are the days where I'm just like, okay, let's make sure like I didn't get infiltrated in some aspect and I'm like missing out on something. Like, let's do an
Yeah.
audit real quick. I know I'm supposed to be
Right.
high vibe every day,
Right.
I'm not Jesus Christ incarnate, so I'll give
Yeah.
myself a break. But I'm still like, I'm addicted to feeling happy and feeling good now. Like when you finally come over that threshold where you realize you have the power and the capability to be happy, to fill your own cup, that's a new addiction for me because it used to
Yeah.
go away so easily in my
Right.
past where I would almost be like, oh, I'm happy today. Well, this isn't gonna last. Like,
Right. When's the other shoe gonna drop?
yes, when's the other shoe gonna drop?
Yeah,
So then now I'm
totally.
like, no, where did my happiness go?
Yeah. And then I think it's like, okay, so what is this that I need to move through to get back to happy? And what is it here to teach me? Right? Like, what is this foul temper I've woken up with? Where is it
Yes.
coming from? And what do I
Who
need to learn from it?
is this? Yes, I have
Yeah.
those moments too. I'm like, who is this imposter? Especially, I have awake shy and sleep shy that I refer to with my husband, because awake
Okay.
shy, especially getting ready to go to sleep shy, she's freaking powerful and she's ready to take on the world, even though she's ready to go to bed at the same time. So I'm
Yeah.
like, I finish this day strong, and when I wake up tomorrow, I'm gonna set my alarm for this time. I'm gonna get up. This is what I'm gonna do. This is what I'm gonna do. This is what I'm gonna do. And my husband loves calling me out on this stuff in like a very comedic way. And he's like, okay, honey, so if you don't wake up to your alarm, like, do you want me to roll over and get you out of bed? And I was like, no, I can do it by myself. And if I don't do it by myself, then it's not meant to happen. I can't rely on you to wake me up. Don't do it. And I was like, besides, you know how sleep shy doesn't really like you. And he just laughs his ass off. He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, like I love you, but like there's different parts of me. So like awake shy and motivated shy is like, yes, I want your help. Nurturing, great. But sleep shy is like, go take care of my child so I can sleep well, please. I'm so tired. I just woke up from a dream that I was really into. So I'm like, I always tell him about this battle between awake shy and sleep shy, because the girl who wakes up in the morning, it's like, sometimes I feel like it's 50 first dates. I'm like, what the hell? Why am I so disoriented? And then to make myself feel better, I just tell myself, like, oh, I was like partying in the astral all night. Like I was just
There
doing some
you
shit up in the ether. And now I came back down to my physical vessel and I'm like, oh shit, time to take on the physical world. Great. Awesome. Cool.
That's awesome.
So I'm
Steer clear of
curious.
sleep shy.
And it's so sad to say, but it's my husband's the one who gets the brunt of it, right? I think anybody that's married understands that. Like the person that you
Yes.
marry, they're really gonna see like those worst traits of you. Like
Right.
I'm sure even because the studio's in our house and my husband does everything to avoid the studio when I'm recording. So like this authentic, powerful, amazing, just version of myself that I absolutely love giving my to my project. The minute like I get off and I'm like, oh, oy vey, the dishwasher needs loaded. Shit, laundry, fuck. And it's really hard to bring this Cheyenne to that table. I'm
Exactly.
still trying to figure out those vibes. But yeah, I mean, he's just kind of like, he kind of laughs it off. He's like, okay, well, good night, waking, sleeping shy, and tell sleep shy to be nice to me when she wakes up in the morning. So we usually try to like tell each other like One time, I don't know if he came in and woke me up too abruptly or my daughter did, but it pissed me off. I mean, it really did. I don't like to be like jolted awake like that.
Yes.
So I was like pissy for the first 2 hours. And he's like, "What's going on with you?" I was like, I didn't like the way I was woken up. You know, like I didn't like it. It didn't make me feel good. It gave me anxiety. All of this happened. I said, "You know how I want to be woken up? I want to be woken up, and I kind of want, hey, babe."
Yeah.
And then when I roll over, I don't even care if you're fucking lying to me. I want you to be like, right. "You're so beautiful."
Right.
You know?
Right.
If you make of course like that, I'll make your fucking coffee. Okay?
Right.
I'll
right
do your dishes with a partial smile on my face because I'm doing right this because it's also my job. But I just have those moments where I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and accept the villain in me. The people that
yes
attest to just love and light honestly freak me out.
Right.
But getting back into your program, now that we know how I like to be woken up.
Yeah. These are important things.
They are very important things, especially to start my day off properly, because then I want to go to my kid and I want to give her good energy too. Right?
Yes.
So I'm like,
right,
get myself in line. Let's brush our teeth together, honey.
Yeah.
So obviously, you have a wonderful background. I want you to kind of walk us through, because you were seeing like pitfalls in your older in-person clients
mm-hmm
before this mind-body connection got to come into play with all of the
right
knowledge that you've already been through. So tell us about how you evolved into this coach.
Sure. So I was a personal trainer for 20 plus years. Still have a few hang on personal training clients, but what I was noticing around 2019 was that I'm training all these like really educated, really wise, really successful women. And for some reason, no matter what I tell them to eat and how I tell them to move, they are sabotaging themselves. And I was like, what? There's got to be a mental, emotional piece to this that I'm not addressing because I don't know how. So I kind of went on the search for how do I help my clients more so that they don't go through this frustration of like losing weight and then gaining it back and losing weight and gaining it back. So I found a life coaching certification program and it was 10 months long. So I started in July of 2019 and was set to graduate in May of 2020. Well, we all know what happened around March 2020.
Right.
Everything shut down. The personal training studio shut down. And I had a lot of clients who were older and they didn't want to do a virtual session. So I lost a lot of clients. And it was just kind of that thing of, first of all, being in that limbo where is this going to be for 2 weeks? Is this going to be for 6 months? What's going to happen with this? And also having this new toolbox full of things, I was like, okay, so maybe this is just a sign that I'm supposed to start using this coaching independent of, like, my original thought was I would help my personal training clients more with this new knowledge. And I'm like, but do I need to be personal training them to help them with this stuff? And so I kind of shifted all the way over to virtual coaching, and it's been amazing. I feel like I'm helping women on such a deeper level than I could have with personal training, and have seen so many flaws in the way that we're taught to deal with weight and exercise and diet, and just that there's a better way, a more happy way, a more self-loving way. And so part of the thing that I talk a lot about with my clients is self-sabotage and why we do it and why we don't trust ourselves and unraveling all those old crappy beliefs and forming new ones. So,
okay. So give me some tips and tricks on how to be nicer to myself.
Mm-hmm.
What, like, if I'm going to start working with you, like you said, the industry is like, oh, you'll be happy once the 50 pounds is gone.
Right.
But until you get there, make sure you beat the shit out of your
right
and you're right unlovable because you're 50 pounds overweight. So like what
exactly
when, you know, those people, they're really conditioned that that's the only way that it is. So
right.
Like, how do I love myself now in the process so this weight feels like it doesn't need to freeze and cling to me, but really just thank you for protecting me and being here.
You may go. Yeah. Right. So, like you were talking about earlier, self-love is a practice, and it's something that doesn't come right away. Like if you're not used to loving yourself, it's not something that you can just snap your fingers and be like, oh, I'm going to go from completely hating myself and thinking I'm worthless to totally loving myself. Yeah. So
second TikTok, right?
Right. So what I have people do is just, you know, let's reflect on all the things that your body's been through with you, you know, everything, like having a baby, being a baby, going to parties, running a marathon, horseback, I mean, everything that you've done, your body's been there with you. And when we kind of shut down mentally and start speaking unkindly to our bodies, I want them to remind themselves that your body has never given up on you. So is it really fair that we're giving up on it all the time? So that's where I like to start with people. Just like, you may not love your body and you may not love what you see in the mirror right now, but can you be thankful for all the things it can do? Like, can you really just reflect and be aware of all the things that it does for you during the day? And that's where I think we can start with some body appreciation if we can't get to body love right away.
But when we also think about like the ideal body, the ideal workout body, that's also a distortion as much as an eating disorder can come up. This is it's body dysmorphia in everybody.
And yes.
When I'm growing up, there are two eating disorders. There's anorexia and there's bulimia. And yes, talk of body dysmorphia, but those are like literally those women that are skin and bone and have severe bulimia plus anorexia. Like they're like TLC covers, right? But normal everyday women, they don't identify with anorexia, bulimia traits, or even body dysmorphia.
Right.
And I was like, okay, so if my body isn't good enough for me right now because I don't look like the ideal Playboy bunny is what I'm getting, or the Sports Illustrated model, there's no way that I'm the only one that can feel like they've just kind of been duped as far as what a woman should feel and be like. So do you have a way to really break through, like even just give someone the awareness that you're totally perfectly beautiful and normal? It's probably best that you don't look like that, because if it's a nightmare to maintain, it's not a dream body.
Right.
You know? So how do you make people feel comfortable, especially because you're working with women ages 40 and over? I had someone reference to me last week, women 40 and above, that's usually the age that they hit where they start feeling invincible to people in public. Mm. They just start kind of feeling passed over and like nobody really cares, which I think is awful.
Yeah.
You know, another thing in society, but because we all have this, I'm going to be happy if my body looks like this. How do you bring awareness to your clients that everything about them is still okay, no matter what size they are, right?
Well, I think there are a couple things. Number one, I like to do a little reality check with my clients. Like the people that you see on the magazines are like the top 1% of the most beautiful people in the world. Then they have plastic surgery, and then they airbrush them, and then they concoct this photograph that is not really what they look like. And that's what you think you should look like. It's not reality. Like, this is not reality. Second of all, my program really aims to, here's what I think. I think society likes for women in particular to be so distracted with their bodies that they are completely disconnected from their own power. So this is one of those things that's really steeped in patriarchy, where we can be like, okay, so We can either spend our entire lives and all of our energy thinking about what we want our bodies to look like, or we can fucking live our lives. Right? So let's take the spotlight off of all this need for a perfect body and a perfect diet and a perfect exercise plan. Let's let that be kind of a side dish to our lives, to what we're passionate about, to what we feel like our purpose is, to really rediscovering ourselves outside those roles of like mom and wife and employee. Let's find out who we really are. And that can be kind of some of the things we do, but that's not going to be our main focus in life, is what our body looks like. Does that make sense? Or did I totally ramble?
I'm just so glad you brought up, it's a narrative of the patriarchy. Because I've also talked about that, especially, have you ever watched the show Adam Ruins Everything?
Yeah.
such a great one. But there's a woman that comes on. I hate that I can't think of her name right now. I think it's Emily Ruins Everything. She'll kind of red marker over Adam's name and do it. And
she did
one on razor blades and shaving. And it was like, why do women shave but men can look,
Right.
Like the forest, and we still are like, men.
Yeah. Oh, he looks rugged today.
He looks rugged. Yes. Right. Shot me down a tree, daddy. Yeah. Right. Stuff like that. So she went through the history and literally the advertisement of demonizing women. And that's exactly what it was. They demonized women for having body hair. It started in one country, swept over another nation, like it usually does. To the point where now it's normal for us, where we're like, oh my gosh, we have underarms, we better shave. Oh, our legs.
Right.
Oh, our private parts, like all this stuff.
Right.
And the sick thing that I didn't think about this until I watched way too many documentaries on like the empire of like Playboy and the evolution of pornography over time with the image of the female body was. Like a woman came on and she's like, I'm sick of the narrative that I can't have hair on my body. And I'm sick that you need my vagina to look like a prepubescent teen.
Right. That drives me crazy. Yeah, that's gross.
I'm like, now that I realize that I played into a perversion and it has perverted the masculine collective, she's like, you whoever did that, right?
But right,
again, without hearing that for the first time, I was like, oh my god, that is kind of weird that this hair that's put here to bacterially protect us and keep us safe, especially with all the chemicals and the underwear and shit these days, all like this barrier is supposed to protect us, and then we're supposed to feel shame over we don't again look like the ideal playmate. And the playmate wasn't even from a full-breasted woman. It was literally the image of the ideal woman came from the image of a child. And that is what I see now when I see these skinny, sickly skinny women. They're really sticking out. They haven't had kids yet, right?
So
go ahead and enjoy your illusion of a dream body. But your dream body is after you have a child and you can bring yourself back from that depth of hell. That's what I think, because I've only had one child, so I can speak on a ton of childbirth. I can speak on my one, but I was huge when I had my baby. I got up there, and I got edema at the end of it, so my feet and my legs swelled like awful. And I didn't feel good about myself because I'm not used to packing on extra weight. I'm not used to having three chins to where I smile and, like it looks like I'm hiding two pork chops in my face.
Right.
I'm not used to it. I also don't want extra weight on me because I understand what that pressure does to my bones.
So
back to vitality, not to body.
Yes.
Weight, right.
Right.
So then after I had my baby, I had like, obviously the swelling from the C-section, I had so much Pitocin and so many drugs in me that I was and you're going to beat yourself up. It doesn't matter what people say, give yourself a break. You just had a baby, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. You mentally, I was so horrible to myself. And I think it's a rite of passage at this point when you go through it. But when I started doing my weight loss journey, that was the one thing that I reminded myself was, this is going to take a while. My body still is healing from, not to brag, but getting cut 7 layers deep and fucking surviving.
Okay. Yeah. You
know,
yeah.
Because that's another thing I don't think people know about C-sections, because childbirth is so common. They don't understand how, one, traumatic it is on your body, traumatic on the mother, because it's just considered like every day a medical procedure.
Right.
But I was just like, did you know that not only can I bleed for 7 days and live, men, but I can get cut 7 layers deep and nothing else on earth can get cut that deep, bleed out that much, have their insides pulled out, have a child that they developed in their body pulled out and survive.
Right.
So that's the shit that I would tell myself in the mirror instead of going, hey, bitch, look at you. You're 90 pounds over from where you were before you had a kid. Hey, bitch, you know, and just, hey, fat ass, go work out.
Right.
Oh, you're sore today? Well, you're also fat today.
Right.
So which one do you want to be?
Right.
I had to be my biggest cheerleader because I honestly couldn't believe any of the shit, no matter how nice it was, people would tell me. And that's when I realized, like, fuck, it's all on me?
Yeah.
That's the worst part, too. You're like, somebody please do the work for me.
Right. Right. And if you think about just like the history of women's bodies, like if you look at these statues in Rome, women were chunky. They had a little junk in the trunk.
Marilyn Monroe.
Right. That was attractive because they considered those people healthy. And if you were too skinny, that person was probably poor and therefore not as attractive. So like you said, this evolution of what the female body should look like, I really believe that part of it is this like, let's make them as weak as they can be so that we can overpower them. So let's make it so that they're attractive when they're thin and frail and sickly. And so we can overpower them more easily. And P.S., let's make them so obsessed with this being attractive to us that that's all they think about. So they don't really think about, you know, the fact that they can be educated and wise and do things on their own, et cetera.
And let's turn them against each other, because women who support each other and understand the power in femininity, let's make sure that they are envious of each other, or they're jealous, or she has something that I don't have, or let's make sure we do all of this crazy shit to them.
Right.
You know?
And I think a lot of that competition also comes from like when people had, if you're going to marry my daughter, I'll give you like 3 goats to start your farm off and shit. Like it's so crazy. It's like, selling cattle or something. So we've come generations and generations and generations of, I have to be better than that person, or I might not get married off and I might be an old maid and, you know, then I'll be kicked out of the tribe and all the things.
I think that is the feminine collective for sure. But you brought up so many good points with, you know, really the way that we've been turned against each other. Because even, I mean, again, especially after experiencing childbirth, it gave me a total wider perspective on being a mother and coming into motherhood and how, like, sacred it is. I absolutely love going through sacred texts and just kind of seeing how perverted the world is today, especially with all the topics we're talking about. But I was like, why is the sex that is the bridge between the spiritual world and the physical world the most oppressed and the most demonized in biblical text, right? So the apostles were once maidens rewritten to be sluts and whores, selling stuff to burn people. Mary Magdalene had 9 demons and was a whore that Jesus forgave. Through my research, I found that whole story is made the fuck up.
Concocted, concocted.
It was a preacher who was running for political office at the same time that they were re-scripting the Holy Bible. And he was like, some other jackass sitting in the crowd was like, oh, that oppresses women. We should put that in the Bible. You know, we should make sure that in religion, in life, in anywhere, even in motherhood, which is what their, you know, divine, if you so choose. I don't want to be like everyone has to be a mom, but if you choose to be a mom, you have that divine nurturance in you. Like that is, that's what you do. And you have that child, that motherhood takes over. Let's make sure that we just make them feel like shit about everything.
Let's
fucking do that. My other
thing. Yeah, and let's put it in the Bible so it has to be true.
So it has to be true. Yes, I know. I think about all, oh my gosh, all of these men, especially like the Duggard family is one that I think because like they blew up and I have a very like religious family back home that like idolized them, bought all their shit. But then when I watched the documentary, not only about their creepy fucking son who they knew was doing that, split it under the rug, good for you. But it is a whole like Scientologist organization under fundamentalist who infiltrated politics.
Yes.
And they are pushing this narrative that women should be these fucking cattle that they breed and have 19 kids with. And God only loves you if you conceive children.
And talk in a sweet voice and obey your husband.
Yeah. And be, be submissive to your husband. Your husband makes all the decisions. Like, you speak when spoken to, like all this weird fucking shit.
Right.
And my favorite when it comes to like sexuality is it's that ludicrous song where it's like lady in the street, freak in the bed.
Yeah.
You know, like all of these narratives are written for us where it's like, I as a man can be sexually promiscuous. I can talk to my friends the way that I want. I can say all of these things that I want or I desire to have a relationship. But if I, as a woman, wanted any of these same things, I would again be demonized to the ends of the earth.
Right.
So I go back and I keep reading and I go back further and I find, you know, like Yoni worship. And I was like, what is this about?
Yeah.
And I find that these women at these times were regarded in whatever their bodies
look powerful. Like,
they're small, they're powerful.
Yeah. And
the fluid that came out of their vagina was called Rita, which is nectar of the gods.
Right.
So the men would be in servitude to these women, and the women in return servitude to the men, obviously on the same frequency. And when the woman gave permission, the man wooed her in that sense, but she gave permission.
Right.
Drink from the divine, so to speak.
Right.
Again, when I see all of this powerful goddess, divine, feminine, your body is beautiful, whatever capacity it is, you're healthy, you're smart, you're a bridge into source.
Yeah.
It obviously makes me want to talk about it because it empowered the shit out of me to break out of the conditioning that was put on myself. And also,
have you read the book? Have you read the book, Pussy?
No, but I'm gonna.
You need to, girl. That's a good one.
Oh my God, I'm writing it down right now.
It kind of goes into like how the same thing you've talked about, how the evolution of like the divine feminine power kind of just got perverted and diluted until we didn't remember we had it anymore. And so her idea is that she's going to take this word back. Like, this is a word that's used in a very derogatory way, and women are going to take it back and we're going to use it. And, you know, you can listen to us use it, and we're going to use it in a powerful way now. So.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. Yeah.
My reading list.
Yes.
Yeah. But I do think, I mean, I think all these things are really important to discuss because that's what helped me with wherever I was in my journey. Never do I want to look like a Sports Illustrated model because, like you said, oh my gosh, top 1%, then plastic surgery, then airbrushed, then Photoshopped.
And we forgot about probably an eating disorder.
Definitely an eating disorder.
Yeah.
Mint today.
Well, right.
Honestly, like, what does that do to starving your brain? That's what I was always thinking.
Yeah.
When you were talking about let's keep them weak and frail.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they're so busy starving themselves, they're not getting the proper nutrients to their brain to even like think. Like, no wonder the
Jinx
was such an iconic format in the 90s and 2000s because that bitch is so hungry, she's done.
Right. Right. Okay.
She could have brains, but she's terrified to eat.
Right.
So do you have
And she's so distracted by it that she can't think about anything else.
Yeah. No, I had friends that would like obsessively take pictures of their body and just be like, "Oh, look at this, look at this, look at this." And I'm like, I don't see that on you, and it terrifies me that that's how you look at yourself. It honestly goes back to saying you can love the people in your life, the people that you see as much as you want. You can tell them, hey, this weird illusion you have that your body is not acceptable, it's all in your head, and you're the only one that's going to fix it. And usually, you know, they don't really like that answer. But I've been there with myself. I didn't have somebody say that to me. I had my mom say it to me after I had a baby, because I was still like losing the weight. I was mourning my old body.
Right.
And by the way, when I found out I was pregnant, I was clean eating and in a yoga studio 4 days a week. Then the day that I went to the doctor to figure out what's wrong with my body, because I had previously thought that I had miscarried. So I was like, my body's completely out of whack. Now I am going to have to go to the doctor. So I get out of the shower that morning and I look in the mirror and I'm looking fucking good. You know,
yeah.
My abs are back, my arms are toned. Like, I'm like, and to me, like, that's a healthy yoga body for me. Like, I can take this muscle and bring it into the future. You know, I'm not looking to be like a model. I'm looking to be healthy.
Right. And strong. You're looking to be strong.
Yeah. So that strong physique is attractive to me, but I don't want to be like skinny rail type
stuff. Right.
So I walk out of the shower naked and I go, God damn, baby. Look at my body. Like, I just saw all of the results of my hard work that day. I was like, oh my God. And now, like, I knew I was going to the doctor to like get everything figured out. And I remember that voice in my head that's like, wouldn't it be funny if you were pregnant right now? And I was like, you shut the fuck up, right? I am in the best shape and mental clarity-ish in my life.
Yes.
So then I go to the doctor and I tell him about how I believe I miscarried a few weeks ago. And it was very mystical and supernatural. I don't want to tell the story because it creeps me out. Another time.
Okay.
And so this doctor's like looking at me like I'm a fucking loon, right?
When,
welcome to the party. This is how most people look at me when I talk, so I'm used to it. You know, I'll be your entertainment for the 7 minutes I get with you from my insurance.
Right.
And he's like, well, Cheyenne, that's a really interesting story. It sounds like you possibly could have experienced a miscarriage. However, the first thing we're going to do is we're just going to take a pregnancy test just to start there, check it off our list. If there's, you know, nothing still going on inside of you, then we'll move on to why, you know, your hormones are basically out of balance because nothing's fucking going on. So I'm sitting there so fucking pissed. Because I was like, I just paid you a $50 copay when I could have went to Dollar Tree and pissed on a stick myself.
Right.
Like, you're still pregnant.
Right.
So I'm fucking pissed. And I'm sitting there completely denying the intuition in my head. Because when I look back, it's obviously like, hey, girl.
I think you're pregnant.
You did not miscarry.
Right.
So he came in and he's like, well, this was a really short exam. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, Mrs. Moore, I would like to let you know that you are pregnant. We do not know if it is a viable pregnancy. So that will be the next step, is to go get the blood test. He goes, so that really ends the investigation here. And he's like, honestly, honey, he goes, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans, you know?
Right.
Like, whatever you had planned up until this moment. And he goes, just, you know, just kind of do it. So I'm flipping out because I just got my body that I had worked for. And now I know that shit's going away. Mama's going and eating steak again. I did not trust myself to be a clean eating, blah, 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 blah. Like, now I'm like, okay, my only focus is to make sure my body is healthy enough to make sure this pregnancy is like good and viable. And, you know, I went down that whole rabbit hole of, well, whatever baby wants and mommy wants, baby gets. And
then
I went down the new rabbit hole of, after I had the baby, of, how do I take care of this baby and nurture healing my body and loving my
right.
body and then trying to lose all this weight? Oh, and let's talk about the pressure you have of people going, well, if you want the baby weight off, you better do it soon.
Oh,
on you. Oh, and if you have another kid, like Irish twins is what they call them. If you have another kid,
yeah.
then that baby weight plus that baby weight, like
right.
that's fucked up. Women should stop saying that. PSA.
Yes.
Stop saying
yes.
that shit to women.
And also, I think we should stop saying getting our body back. Like our body didn't go anywhere. So can we just nurture the body in the shape that it's in and make it, I mean, if we are coming from a place of self-love, we're going to want to nurture it and nourish it and move it in ways that feel good and not punishing. And that's where the magic happens, I feel like.
Do you also think that that's also coming from a patriarchal standpoint as well? Because if you look at all and any men that develop anywhere in their life, like fucking dad bods were glorified.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
You know, men right. are allowed to age like a fine glass of scotch. And we
oh, and like gain weight with the pregnancy.
And gain weight with the pregnancy, yes. And then women are, it's like, oh, you better get your body back. You better get your body
uh-huh.
back. It's like, my husband gained 50 pounds with me, and I don't see
yeah.
him going down anytime soon.
Right.
But guess what? When that door closes, I'm in there with him, you know?
Right.
Like, I
right.
always think it's so different. And maybe it is the nurturance and the feminine collective. But I think it's so different how women are so overly accepting of their men's flaws that
yes.
society wants to tell them these are flaws.
Right.
Like, honey, your ass isn't Men's Illustrated either, but I love
it. Right.
You know, I'm
exactly.
not it's not
right.
going to make me want to touch you less. Because your
right.
ass sags and your balls are headed towards your
right.
I don't give a shit. You're mine. I'm going to honor
right.
your body. But the fact
right.
that reciprocity really isn't given back to the feminine.
Right.
And I've talked to many women about this. I think that's where it actually falls off in a relationship and in a marriage is when that
mm-hmm.
woman realizes you're holding me to a false standard that I'm never going to be able to do. And I'm going to like cut you off from a body. Okay.
Yeah. And also, and that's not who I am. That's my external body is not who I am.
Yes.
You know, I think we get real confused about that too. Like if I don't weigh what I weighed before my pregnancy, then I'm not worthy. Like that's not, it doesn't make logical sense.
No, it doesn't. God, I love this talk. I think you
yeah.
are a great coach. We have a lot
well, thank you.
You know, not necessarily like down with the patriarchy, right? I'm just looking
no,
for more of.
Let's be aware of the patriarchy.
Let's be aware of the poisoning in both collectives. And,
yes.
You know, just be nicer to each other and be nicer to ourselves.
Right.
And I truly right. am a huge self-love advocate. So
yeah.
I love that your program incorporates that. I can only hope if people hear your episode, they love you as much as I do.
And oh, thanks.
And want to work with you because I think
yeah.
you're wicked smart.
Thank you very much.
So where can we find you? How can we get a hold of you if we want to know more about you and work with you?
Yeah, so I am on Facebook. My name on Facebook, it has my maiden name in it, so my old people can find me. So I'm Sally Skelton Myers on Facebook. And I also have a business page on Facebook called Happy Ripples Coaching. And you can find links to work with me on my page. I'm doing a 5-day mini course once a month that kind of debunks diet myths and helps you kind of rediscover some good juicy bits about yourself and get you on the road to get started with a healthy and happy weight loss journey. So those links are on my page. My website is happyripplescoaching.com.
Yes. And as you know, as a listener, I want you to get to their links as fast as possible. So no matter what streaming service you're on right now, you'll be able to click the description and it'll say connect with Sally here. And it's going to have all those links that she talked about as well. Sally also shared something really cool with us that her son Nathan does. He's a musician.
Yes.
We love the musicians.
Yes.
And she has brought his music on so we could share it with all of you today. So she chose, and I chose, her favorite song that Nathan wrote and recorded and sang. It is called Dim. You can find it on the Safe Space with Cheyenne playlist now. And you can also find it at the end of this episode. But if you would like to go support him, you will find his band, The Picnic, or The Picnic.
The Public.
P-U-B-L-I-K is how it's
yes.
spelled. I will have again linked in the bottom for you. And do you have any piece of advice for our feminine and masculine collective before we listen to this song together?
I think the best piece of advice I can give you is that you're not alone and there is no there. Just enjoy the journey.
Oh, I think that was for me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining me today.
You're so welcome.
My friends, Vitality Exposed Performance Photography, just so you know, she's going to be bringing you The Public, their song Dim, sang by Nathan Myers. I know you're a proud mama, so enjoy this when the episode comes out.
Thank you.